Bob Myers joins us on Sports Byline USA, general manager for the Golden State Warriors, and I think he has a very interesting perspective on pro basketball. First of all, he played basketball at UCLA. He was on a national championship team, and then he was an agent for ball players. He had 19 clients, including Brandon Roy, Tyreke Evans, and Kendrick Perkins, and now he's on the other side of the table. You know, Bob, when you think about the three positions, what perspective has that given you on the business of basketball and also the athletes that play it?
Empathy, Ron, I suppose. You know, just having been in those, you know, you never know what an occupation is or what an individual is going through if they actually have sat in that chair. So it's you learn a lot about guessing what a person is going through, because usually you're wrong. I have no idea what your job's like. I imagine you may not know what mine is like. I don't know what it's like for the people that, you know, pick up my trash or the post office or anybody in the media on your side. So it's interesting to have done a couple things and then jump over a fence, especially from the agent to the front office side. Probably gives me a little bit more understanding about the overall picture of the business. Gives me different perspective, and like I just mentioned, empathy, because all these things are difficult. Any job that anybody has responsibilities, has stress. So it allows you to realize that what you may think somebody's going through is usually not right.
You know, one of the things I was thinking about is that I would suppose, Bob, it's a two-edged sword. Because you've been an agent, you certainly know how to negotiate contracts from that perspective, and you certainly understand the athlete and what they're looking for. But then on the other side, the agents that you have to negotiate may be concerned that you know the tricks and how to work with them. I mean, is there a dichotomy right there?
Yeah, you know, I mean, just try to be honest with people and understand they have a job to do. And you know, you have to understand that. And by having done what they're actually trying to do, like I said, gives me a perspective. So an understanding is probably the key word, because there can be difficult conversations between front office executives in any sport and the representatives of the athletes. Negotiations can get tense. If it's the draft, you're trying to seek honest information. Sometimes players don't want to be in current situations or have an opinion about what is right and wrong. So dialogue is really important. Relationships are important. But respecting the side that you're discussing or talking to is important in anything you do. So having been there and done that to a certain degree, I wouldn't say I know all the tricks. I just understand what they're going through. And ultimately, there usually is a solution that works for both parties, but understanding where they're coming from does help.
I thought Antoine Jameson said something very interesting. You mentioned about how important truth was. He said he was just one of those people that I needed that wasn't a family member, somebody who I knew was going to tell me the truth. He knows the game, and he can communicate with players like no other person I've ever been around. What is it the pro basketball player is looking for today?
It's funny. Nobody wants to tell. A lot of times in life, people don't want to get bad news, or people are afraid to communicate bad news. So NBA players, you take that phenomenon, whatever you want to call it in life, and you apply it exponentially to NBA players, because everybody's afraid to give the truth to an NBA player. There's so many excuses, ready-made excuses. If you're representing an NBA player and he has an off night or things aren't going so well, it's very easy to blame the coach, blame your teammates, blame everybody else, the system that you're playing in, instead of the player saying, you know what can I do? What can I do to make myself better? So what I tried to do was hold players accountable for their own actions. I mean, a lot of times in life, things are out of your control. But with a guy like Antoine, he struggled his first couple years, and it's hard, because a lot of these people who get to the NBA have known nothing but success. So being honest with him and saying, look, you're not playing so well. Nobody tells him that. Nobody tells a player it's your fault. Or what are you doing to correct the situation? So just trying to do stuff like that. You can say it in a respectful way. But for whatever reason, those conversations don't happen that often.
You certainly have done a good job of bringing in the right talent and the right people to the Golden State organization. That's why they're being successful. But I would think the hardest thing for you, and correct me if I'm wrong about this, Bob, it's pretty easy to evaluate talent. You can see whether they have it or not. But how about evaluating the life influences on a person, on a player, and how that might affect the person that you're getting in the organization?
It's hard, Ron. It's hard to really nail that one, because you try your best to speak to people that have surrounded that player, whether it's their college coach, and you actually have personal interaction with players you might draft. If it's a free agent, usually that free agent has had a reputation, especially if that was an agent. I might have even known the person myself in a way, or know somebody, that another player that represented, that knows that player well. So you do your best, like any job interview. If you're hiring somebody to work for you, you go on reputation, for one. You go on what your interview with them was like. You have two interviews, you have five interviews, and you leave that process sometimes with a gut instinct of saying, you know, this is the right guy for the team. But it's what everybody does. But in any walk of life, you're going to be wrong sometimes. I mean, you're going to take somebody's word for it, and you're going to realize, you know what, I shouldn't have done that. Or this guy really outflicked me in the interview. I thought this was a great guy. It turns out when he gets in the workplace and adversity strikes, he's not the guy I thought he was. So you do your best to find out as much as you can and to get it right, but you never bat 1,000. And sometimes things don't go right, so you do your best to correct it when it does. But information is very important. It's paramount when making these decisions. You get as much of it as you can, and you try to act on it.
Is the coach more important in that interaction with the player? Because especially if that coach is somebody that's played the game, and so they can respect them from a playing standpoint, rather than Bob Myers, who's the general manager, because the coach is going to interact with that player on a daily basis and can talk to him about not only the professional playing aspects of a career, but also the personal aspects as well.
Yeah, I think, Ron, you're right. I think that the coach is on the front lines in regards to interacting with a player. He's around them intimately every day. A lot of times watching their career grow, sometimes watching the decline of a player, watching how that player interacts with his teammates. So the coach absolutely is the one that interacts on a second-to-second basis with the players. As a general manager or somebody in the front office, it's more of a bird's-eye view. You do your best to supply the coach with high-character guys, as far as how they're shaped and molded, the coach of the team has much more of an influence than somebody in the general manager seat.
You know, I was very interested in something that the owner of the team, Joe Lacob, said about you. One of the things he said he liked was your diverse skill set and the vast network of contacts. But the thing that really jumped out at me, Bob, was it also helped that Myers was a great listener. Now, listening is a lost art. I think we both know that. But when it comes to sports, what does being a good listener mean?
It's funny that our owner, Joe, said that, because I would say the same about him. A lot of people that are uber successful in whatever walk of life, a lot of people think that they don't need to listen because they've achieved a certain level of success, and they don't need to be told what's right or wrong, or they don't need to extract opinions from other people. But it's funny that Joe would say that. But listening in what in anything, Ron, in anything, building a consensus, you're right. Listening is a lost art, and why people don't do more of it, I have no idea. I think you have to hire good people underneath you. You have to hire people at an equal level with you. You have to listen to people above you, below you, laterally to you. And that's the best way to do anything, because I'm willing to admit in a situation, if we have 10 decisions to make, I'm not going to be right in all 10 of them. There's no way. In 7 of them, if I'm right, that's a huge, I'm batting 700. But there's going to be times where I go into a decision thinking I know what's right. And then you look around you, ask advice, seek input, and you realize after some good dialogue that you were wrong. And that's part of listening, too. So listening, I think the best people that are the most successful do listen. You got to find out who the best people to listen to are. But you always listen. And I do agree with you. I think if more people did it, I guess we'd all be a little bit better off. But I really value the art, like you like to call it, of listening.
I'm fascinated by something that is obviously doesn't fit to the mold, and that is the fact that the men or women who are able to accumulate a lot of money and be able to buy a sports franchise, you know, certainly appreciates hard work. But when you take a look at athletes that are being paid multi-millions of dollars, who may get hurt, who may not pan out, how hard is it for Joe Lacob or any other owner in basketball or professional sports to accept that the dynamics are different than what they're used to?
Wow, it's hard. I mean, when we have Jerry West is one of our advisors, and he, when Joe and Peter Cooper purchased the team, I remember he mentioned to them, because he's been in it a long time, said, "This is going to be the hardest thing you'll ever do." And I, you know, and I don't, I kind of listened to that, and these are very successful people, Joe Lacob and Peter Guber, in their own right, built empires. And I think Jerry Russ is right. Owning a professional sports team is unbelievably hard. I assume if you got to grab Paul Allen on the phone and ask him, was Microsoft harder or getting a Super Bowl championship for the Seahawks? He might tell you that finally winning at the highest level in one of his organizations that he owns, the ups and downs and the trials and tribulations, although you're not curing cancer, so to speak, but the pain and the highs and lows that go with winning in sports can be really excruciating. I think that a lot of people realize once they purchase a team that you're dealing with a lot of people, and managing people, whether it's athletes or anybody, is a difficult thing to do. So it takes some time, and you just keep plugging away and chopping away, and eventually some things will break your way, and hopefully you'll take advantage of them. But it is difficult, Ron. I mean, winning one NBA game is hard. It's not easy. Doing anything in any sport is hard. So I think it's tough for owners, but they do love it, and it gets your blood pumping, and I think that's why a lot of people that are successful want to buy a team.
Bob Myers is with us, the fine general manager of the Golden State Warriors. I would think the other problem for owners is the fact that they're used to having investment give back some type of reward or return, and the lack of control as well. Now, you know as well as I do that if Joe Lacob was running a company, he could control what people said about the company and about him. But when it comes to sports, Bob,
he is
fair game.
Yeah, look, me too. I mean, that's everything. I mean, general managers, coaches. You feel like you're always, ownership might be different, but for me, you're never entrenched in your position. You feel like you're a steward to the public to a certain degree. I mean, you feel like you're a public servant when you're working for a team, because no matter what you do, whether you choose not to engage with the media or get the paper, a lot of people try to avoid it, it's pervasive in your life. I mean, walking down the street, hey, good job, I like the team, and then you know, when the team's not going well, I'm sure there's people muttering, what's this guy doing? Or, you know, can't they figure it out? Or I would have never made that deal. So, you know, you're a human being. I mean, you feel that stuff sometimes. But, yes, certainly at an ownership level, you cannot control. You can do your best and work hard. But I guarantee you, no matter how smart you are and driven and hardworking, it's going to take some time. I do believe that if you put enough effort in and you do things the right way, you'll get your championship. But it's not easy, and it does take time. And to get it, you got to experience, I believe, some highs and lows, and the lows can be painful.
We got a little bit over a minute and a half left, but you brought it up. You're talking about making deals. What is the art of making a deal in pro basketball today?
I don't know, Ron. I mean, it takes two sides to make a deal. Usually, when you walk away from a deal and you feel moderately good, you feel like you got something done, because you know, you're never going to kill a deal, as I like to say, where the other side feels like they got the short end of it. You try to approach a deal, and you go into it with expectations of what you'd love to have, and you end up getting what you like to have. But communication is big, relationships, respecting the opposing party, and hoping that you can find some way that you give a little, take a little, and end up with a result you can both live with. But it's like anything. We negotiate every day, we just don't know it. I mean, we negotiate with our spouses, with our friends. You just try to be respectful of who you're talking to and hope it all works out in the end.
I had a friend of mine who was a general manager with a baseball team, and I asked him that same question, and he says, you know, it's an interesting question. He said, I've gone into negotiations thinking I wanted this player, and by the time I came out of it, I ended up getting somebody that I didn't know I wanted.
Yeah, that happens. Or, you know, you end up really not wanting the player you wanted in the first place. So it can go a lot of different directions. You just got to be ready to be nimble, and the results you get, you live with. So hopefully you're right about it.
In about 30 seconds, can you relax and enjoy your job?
I don't know, Ron. I mean, I think that's a good question. Some days yes, some days no. And it has to do with your own inner makeup. I'm competitive, and I think a lot of people that work in sports are competitive. Sometimes competitiveness can go too far. Not that you treat people wrongly or make bad choices in life, but just for your own mental health, it can be tough. So you try to find a rhythm in your life and balance the best you can. But a lot of people in sports, it can consume you, I guess is the best word. And you try to avoid that while maintaining a good work ethic. So that'd be an hour conversation for me to really answer that one, Ron.
Well, that means you're going to have to come back and join me again. You know, Bob, I always enjoy our conversations. They're very insightful, and people really react to them because they say they learn something. Take care and come back and join us again, Bob.
All right, Ron. Thanks a lot.
General Manager for the Golden State Warriors, Bob Myers. We continue with more of you and America's Sports Talk Show.